This is the Sunday Chimes Politics Weekly, where we unpack the week's big political stories. My name is Mike Siluma, and thanks for joining us. In today's installment of Politics Weekly, we look at President Cyril Ramaphosa's predicament in the wake of the scandal over a burglary on his Palapala farm 2 years ago. Can you believe it? The scandal was set off by the laying of charges, including bribery, kidnapping, money laundering, among others, by the former spy chief, Arthur Frazier. It's been called variously the farm gate. It's been called mattress gate. And I've seen it called elsewhere, dollar gate. I'm not sure which one, for the purposes of our conversation now, you guys will prefer to use. But also, we can't not touch on the other big story of the week, the release of the final state capture report by Chief Justice Raymond Zondo, and how it fits in with the political state of play at the moment. For today's conversation, let's welcome our guest, Khutazo Madisa, who's the Sunday Times political reporter, Dr. Fikile Vilakazi, who's been on the show before, who lectures in public policy and political science at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, and of course, William Gumede, who is an associate professor at the School of Governance at Wits University.
With immediate effect.
When people saw,
and I quote, "In 2 years' time, Eskom's problems will be a thing of the past. People won't even remember load shedding," unquote.
They put saliva on the paper.
I'm in charge. That's why these fools are running around here. I'm in charge.
And then they share that zone.
Point of order, Chairperson.
Order, Chairperson.
Point of order, ruling party by point of order.
Must step aside within 30 days.
No, I'm not going to apologize.
He has no brains whatsoever.
So the AFP president was sabotaged again yesterday?
Well, sabotage, that can be
this deserved. Is not a shit.
Arms, can you please come in?
Khutazo, let's start with you from where you're sitting, because you interact a lot with the political types, you know, in the ANC. What would you say has been the impact of the Palapala scandal on the president's political standing currently?
Pramaik, this has had a serious impact on the president's political standing. If you remember, this is a man who campaigned using an anti-corruption, anti-criminal campaign. To get South Africans behind him. You remember the Ramaphoria that was spoken about, in his presidency and the like. So for him to now be embroiled in a scandal of this nature, you can understand that, you know, even people who are not necessarily ANC members, but voted for the ANC, in the past election, because of his ticket that the ANC was running on, are now asking themselves a lot of questions on whether, you know, they backed the right horse, what happens from here on, is this really legit? You know, so internally and externally in the party of the ANC, this has really had an impact. You listen to the discussions even in the ANC meetings where, you know, the party should be discussing serious issues that are affecting the country right now, but they get stuck on this point. I mean, the previous two ANC National Working Committee meetings were really stuck on this point. They could not move forward on any other issue because, you know, people wanted the meeting to discuss, you know, what happens to the president? Does he step aside? What has he told you as the top six or top four officials? So yeah, things are not the same. Things are not the same. You can even tell from the man's posture that things are really no longer the same.
But of course, you know, you are talking generically about people in the ANC. We all know though that there are the president's people and the president's anti-people, in other words. So some people will be very happy that he's got all these troubles surrounding him now. And while others may probably be very worried, maybe people who supported him or who are sympathetic to him.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This the worry reverberates throughout the factional battle. I mean, you speak to people who support him, people who were anti him, it's a worrying thing for his people to say, the president, what did you do? What is this? I mean, however, though. I must say, and people need to know this, that internally in the ANC, National Executive Committee, the president still commands a lot of support. According to the numbers that we have done, he commands at least 78% support in terms of the NEC members, while the other side have just under 26%, because you remember there's more than 100 members, 80 members of the NEC, but they co-opted other people and there's ex-officials and whatnot. So, yeah. So he's still looking good in the party. They will protect him. That's why to this day, you don't have, the party has not been able to discuss the Palapala matter because he is being protected. You get people like Madame Antashe, who, you know, we know him as the protector of the throne. I mean, he did the same during the Zuma years. He protects the throne of the president. So he hasn't changed his stance. He's still protecting the president in the meeting. However, you have people like Naledi Pandor in the meeting who has been, you know, the president's, one of the president's allies. In the past meeting, she stood up and said, look, we cannot handle this matter any differently. We need to treat the president the same way we've been treating the people, other people who were accused of things. We have to discuss this matter and we call on the officials to bring a report to tell us how do we answer questions that were being asked about this thing, to the public, because the ANC is being battered. This is what we're hearing out of the discussion internally in the party on both fronts.
Okay.
But obviously those who are not on the side are extremely excited. They can't wait to see the man's backside.
Okay. Now, Dr. Vilakazi, I'd like to come to you. If I'm an ordinary South African, and because, you know, ANC politics can be quite opaque and intriguing and confusing. So if I'm an ordinary person, I see that, oh, the president of the ANC, who also happens to be my president or president of the country, has got these political problems. Surely my the top of my mind is, will he survive all of this? Will he, you know, how long will he be able to face down, you know, all his problems and survive and stay president? Or maybe his days are numbered. How do you assess his chances of survival if you look at what has been happening in particular in relation to the Palapala scandal?
It is devastating, you know, if you are an ordinary citizen of South Africa. Hearing what has happened around Palapala and the allegations against the president. Devastating, Bramaik, because this has probably been the last hope, right, you know, of citizens. If you were hoping that any leadership for the country would come out of the ANC, it would have been, you know, President Cyril Ramaphosa. And that hope is gone. It was just like the last stroke. At the back of citizenry to say, where do we go to now? So that is the feeling, you know, when you are listening to the vibes, even within conversations in the various spaces where we citizens are moving and where we speak, people are saying that this is the end of it. There is no way that we can hope that the ANC can recover from this. It is impossible to even imagine a situation where the country can continue to expect any form of political leadership from the African National Congress should these allegations be true. And there's that sense. And I mean, you know, there's also this thing about saying how naive perhaps can we all be, you know, in South Africa, because it has been a known fact that the president is a businessman. And Section 96 of the Constitution is very, very clear that office bearers and cabinet members cannot have extra income. Within the African National Congress, he was deployed to this position of presidency, knowing very well that he's a businessman, he has got extra income. As the voters, we also voted, you know, those who voted the African National Congress, leadership in this particular instance. So there is also that level of saying, is it because we are not aware of what the Constitution is stating in terms of who can be a leader, in terms of the ethical code? Or is it because really there is this there is this hunger of leadership that we had to say President Cyril Ramaphosa perhaps is the candidate. And I think there was some level of hope that he's cleaning up, you know, talking anti-corruption, the Zondo Commission report, and people were saying perhaps we can give the ANC another chance. But the Palapala scandal really has removed all that possibility of hope.
Do you think he will survive, though? Because, you know, way back, well, of course, these are two different people and different circumstances. If you look at the scandals that followed Jacob Zuma when he was president, you know, with each scandal, people thought, this is it. He is finished. And he would always come back. The ANC would always support him. Ekhotazo was alluding to that. But when you're looking at this president and this scandal, do you think that he will survive it, in your view?
I doubt that he will survive it. And I will tell you why. The difference between what former President Jacob Zuma went through and what President Ramaphosa is likely to go through is that he is fighting a battle internally within the ANC because there are these factions, right? So the red faction is determined to see him go.
The RET people.
It's mobilizing itself to ensure that he goes. So then there's an external world, which is the citizens, who are also just tired of the ANC, anything that comes out of the ANC. So Ramaphosa, I do not see it possible that he may survive this particular one. The pressure is too much. The awareness even, you know, within citizens is even greater. The Zondo Commission has revealed a lot of things that have just made people to say, we cannot do this again. How did we even allow this to happen? So there's so much that is out there on the public domain that will work against him. But also even in terms of the justice system, in the way that it stands, you know, already people are saying that he is friends with Chief Justice Zondo. So there's lack of trust even in terms of the justice system, even if he goes the route of the courts, we know what's going to happen. So just in terms of voting, in terms of confidence, in terms of people saying he can lead us again, I do not see him surviving this particular scandal. He will survive as a human being because he's a businessman, he's a billionaire, he's going to move on and live his life. And perhaps one of the suggestions would be that if he could just be clever and not even contest for presidency at the December conference and allow himself to have this as his final term, that would probably be a more dignified way of accepting the fact that he cannot win this.
Mm-hmm. Professor Gumede, how long is a piece of string? How long do you think President Ramaphosa will survive? Do you think he'll survive to see a second term, survive beyond December?
I mean, this is the fight. So this is his biggest political fight. I mean, this is a very, very hard and it's a very difficult one for him. I mean, it's about five or six things which will determine whether he can survive. I mean, firstly, just his anti-corruption campaign is now gone. You know, that image has been totally destroyed. And then also his credibility. Of course, we have to see, I mean, I'm saying that in the context that we don't know all of the facts and things may turn out differently than we think. But still, his credibility is gone. But most probably more important, his authority within the ANC may be gone. And then his authority within wider society may be gone. I mean, we in the country now, I mean, we're sitting with our biggest set of crises, most probably in a couple of generations. I mean, we've got, the post-COVID, COVID-19 financial crisis. Now we have also the financial crisis caused by the war, the Russian war in Ukraine. So this is our biggest crisis, highest unemployment seen ever, or even compared to our emerging market peers. Now, for the president, needs authority, he needs credibility to push through these reforms. And remember, in the past, I mean, he has been hesitant. He's been a cautious president because he's been arguing he's looking for a second term when he's consolidated his power. Now it's going to be very difficult for him to consolidate his power. So even if he survives politically and he goes into a second term, I mean, that's if he won't have the credibility and the authority to implement anything. So he's a lame duck, essentially, from now onwards. And I think most probably his biggest political threat for him is going up to the ANC's national conference. I mean, so far it's been smooth sailing for him. The couple of conferences they've had, their provincial conferences have nominated him. I mean, that's actually unexpectedly smooth. I think now he will have to win against him. It's going to be very, very hard for him to get renominated by the other provinces because of the there's a campaign within the ANC among his opponents against him. There's a campaign outside the ANC by the opposition parties like the EFF. And there's also the public, you know, ordinary citizens who are now heartful of the ANC. And they now, I think, coming to the conclusion that Ramaphosa may be no different than all of the other ANC leaders.
And William, if the damage proves to be fatal to his presidency, to President Ramaphosa's presidency and political future, what would be the implications for the ANC? Let's say he just feels that he's had enough of all this, you know, and he announces, my fellow citizens, I'm stepping down forthwith. He uses with immediate effect, I'm no longer a president. I'm stepping down, leaving the ANC, leaving the presidency. What would be the impact on the ANC itself? What would happen? Would it be stronger, weaker, more confused? What would it look like as an organization?
I think we remember when Jacob Zuma was the president and he faced all of those corruption charges and eventually he was pushed out. We then said that was the ANC's biggest crisis. But if Ramaphosa goes, it's the end of the ANC. I mean, we know the ANC is already on its liberation decline. You know, the era sort of, which is equivalent sort of 3 decades in power when compared with other liberation movements where the dominance of the party ends and where the party, if the party is in a good space and win elections, it can only do it with other partners, with a coalition and so on. Now, if Ramaphosa, I think, is almost, Ramaphosa is holding at least 10 to 15%, even more, and that's very conservatively, possibly I would say 20%, most probably, of voters vote for him, ANC voters for him and not for the party because they believe in him personally. Their hopes are in him. And if he has to go, I think we may see at least a 20% immediate drop in the electoral fortunes of the ANC. So if the ANC then goes to the elections, let's just say the 2024 national elections, I would say without Ramaphosa there, the ANC would be around 35%. You know, it would actually fall below that 40% mark. And then secondly, also from the ANC point of view, it will cause the ANC will actually plunge in disarray because right now there's no clear successors in the ANC. The party is divided into 2 groups. There's no one that they can rally, that can consolidate. If one look at the people who are now in the ANC, and you must remember under Jacob Zuma introduced reforms in the ANC, which made it very difficult for outsiders to become the president of the ANC. Now, if you want to be elected president or even be nominated as president of the ANC, you need to have been at least for 10 years, at a national level, involvement at a national level. So it kind of excludes even fresh blood or maybe veteran members who were not part of the current group, who could potentially hold the ANC together. So, I mean, the pool of the ANC is limited because of these reforms. They was done previously in the ANC, which means the ANC can almost only nominate from the current group of people. And we look at the current group of people from the Kuomintang and so on. Really, they don't have a unifying figure.
Kgothatso, from your observation, you know, William is referring to he's saying that there's no clear successor for the reasons that he has outlined. So, what are you seeing, hearing in terms of who might be wanting or who might be willing or who might be put forward, you know, to step up to the plate, you know, if the president were to be out of the picture? Are there any names that people are talking about that we can seriously look at?
Yes. But maybe let me start here, Bramay. You say the president leaves now, at the July policy conference, which is being lobbied to become an NGC, a National General Council. Say he lives there, then only DD, David Mabuza, can fill that gap between now, in the presidency, between now and December. But at December conference, if the President Cyril Ramaphosa is not there, the name that is being touted that has come up in several provinces is that of Paul Mashatile. His name has come up in Limpopo, to an extent in Mpumalanga, in Gauteng, And I hear he's also finding resonance in the Eastern Cape as well for the position of deputy president. So yes, there's that name. It has really, as we know, he's now one of the most powerful people in the ANC. He holds literally three offices. So he's in charge of Luthuli House as we stand. So his name is really coming up in a lot of spaces. But you have people like Ronald Lamola, who, as they say in the ANC, has come up through the ranks. They like using that quote. He's really going for it. He believes there should be generational mix, and there is a bit of support for him, especially with the youth in the party. I'm just not sure, besides Mpumalanga, which other provinces is supporting him. But yes, Paul Mashatile's name right now seems most likely to take over the ANC presidency. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Dr. Vilakazi, can I bounce a thought off you? You know, there's a view that says that Cyril Ramaphosa is our last hope in terms of fighting corruption, in terms of undoing the corruption of the previous years, the state capture damage, etc. That we probably are better off with him there rather than another unknown quantity moving into the union buildings. What's your view about that?
You know, I fully agree. I mean, at some point, I actually thought perhaps we are just too naive, right? What we should be doing is to realize that the problem of corruption that we are dealing with is a problem that is sitting within the whole organization. And in fact, the African National Congress needs to step aside as an organization, you know, rather than pinpointing individuals, because this clearly is a layered, you know, challenge that is sitting within the institution. The institution is rotten. It has been an organizational culture that could not be thwarted over time. And even if you remove President Cyril Ramaphosa, whom we thought at least is trying to clean up, a lot of rot is still going to surface. There could be beautiful names like Mamulindiwe Sisulu, for instance, who, you know, Mamuna Lady Pando, and so on, if you're looking at, you know, from a feminist perspective. But there are issues within the Women's League. We are talking about Mamba Tabile, who, you know, currently going through these charges of perjury and so on. So all these other names that I've mentioning also being linked with the Red Faction and the former president, Jacob Zuma. So whether you remove one person or the other, it's becoming clearer to me that the problem is not individualized, but I think it's an institutional one. So the ANC has got a lot of cleanup work that it needs to do. Whether you put Paul Mashatile or you put Umama Lindiwe Sisulu or you put anybody, the ANC itself has committed a crime of corruption. And it is becoming clearer that one person is linked to the other. It's a web of corruption within an institution that needs to unravel itself. So it's not, I don't think that is going to change anything. My sense is that we have entered that era in South African politics where it is inevitable to talk coalitions. It's inevitable to say we don't have one particular president in the country at this point. We have a leadership crisis, but we do have pockets of leaders sitting in different spaces, even within the opposition, within civil society organizations. Perhaps it is time to rally that support and begin to rebuild a framework around coalitions, a framework around ethical leadership, and galvanize for that as we go towards 2024. Luckily, legally speaking, we've got this judgment of the court, right, that enables independent candidates to now stand for elections, which Parliament is busy working on. They have been granted an extension to do that. So it widens then the scope to say, who knows, maybe our next president is sitting in Khayelitsha. Maybe our next president is actually sitting somewhere doing community work in Kukuletu. You know, let us look outside of political parties. It is an era now where we need to rethink the political party system in the manner that it stands, because it is rotting. You know, it's not just within the African National Congress. I mean, this rot is sitting in other spaces as well, you know, because it is a system where in the politics of South Africa, we did not have a policy framework that is matured enough to be able to track, as we were transitioning from apartheid, to track these ailments of, and you know, rottenness that have emerged even from the various systems of oppression from the past. Because you know the problem of corruption is not an ANC problem. It's an institutional problem of governance that came from apartheid. It came from colonization. And if we have to clean that up, really talking the ANC, we're just touching the tip of an iceberg. We have a responsibility to go deeper than that. So I don't see but Mike, anyone within the ANC, if Ramaphosa goes, I think it's just going to be the same thing.
Mm. Professor Kumede, I'd like to give the last words to you. The State Capture Commission, Judge Zondo, one of the key recommendations he's made, you know, while we're talking corruption, was for a whole lot of people to be either prosecuted or investigated for prosecution. Now, most of us are aware, it made these propositions before. Yeah, the commission made the propositions in its previous reports, and not much has happened in terms of prosecutions or, you know, anything like that. Do you see the NPA and the Hawks stepping up to the plate, or will this be just another report that's put together and then it's left in the union buildings to gather dust and the nation moves on?
I think this time society won't allow the ANC just to move on, the government to move on. So, you know, things have changed. The mood of the country has changed. The psyche of the country has changed. So it's not going to be allowed to be swept, you know, under the carpet, so to speak. There really is going to be a rebellion in society. I know, you know, the president did say it will take about 6 months to be taken to, I think, you know, to parliament, the ANC is going to study it and so on. But I don't think society will allow the ANC to get away the ANC government rather not to investigate. Because I think what people also will do, there's going to be a big mobilization also, anything from, you know, private prosecutors and so on. And there's been some success in those sort of things. So I think that's going to happen. So there is there's no way out of that. But I also think clearly the NPA leadership, they are feeling the pressure. I mean, we've seen it. They are starting to deliver the results because really from their reputation's point of view, from the heads of the NPA's reputation point of view, the organization will have to be seen to do something, you know, to take people on. And my sense is also, so even in those institutions now, I think people are also determined, you know, to save their own reputations by prosecuting. So I do think it may not be as quick as we would want. It may not be as clean, you know, and decisive as we would want, but it's going to happen. Maybe, you know, in between a snail's pace and a hare pace. It's not going to be fast, but it is going to happen.
Okay, with my guests, that's where we'll wrap it up on the Sunday Times Politics Weekly for this week. And I'd like to thank them, Khutatso Madisa, who's a Sunday Times politics reporter, Dr. Figile Vilakazi, who lectures in public policy and political science at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, as well as William Kumete, who's associate professor at the School of Governance at Wits University. We appreciate your time. I'm Mike Siluma. Until next time, do stay safe, stay blessed, and let's do good for our country.